I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, June 11th. The state is warning about dangerous jellyfish at multiple beaches in the Boston area. Lion's mane jellyfish have been spotted at Wollaston Beach in Quincy, Nahant Beach, and Carson Beach in South Boston. Those beaches have been posted with purple flags to warn swimmers about the creatures. Anyone who sees the jellyfish should get out of the water immediately and not touch any that wash up on shore. Last week, Hull issued a warning about the lion's mane jellyfish, cautioning swimmers that they can grow over 6 feet wide and tentacles extend over 100 feet. The sting can cause an allergic reaction that might require medical attention. Last June, lion's mane jellyfish began appearing in Massachusetts waters by the tens of thousands. Scientists said they're not really sure about why the jellyfish have started arriving in such large numbers. Officers from across Massachusetts showed support for fallen Braintree Police canine Kit in a somber ceremony on Wednesday afternoon. Braintree police officers, alongside canine officers from departments throughout the state, escorted the remains of Kit from the VCA Animal Hospital in Weymouth to Cartwright Funeral Home in Randolph. Kit was transported in Officer Bill Cushing's cruiser, who was Kit's handler for more than 11 years. Kit was shot and killed while searching for a suspect after responding to a domestic violence incident last Friday. Cushing and Officer Matthew Donahue were also injured in the attack. Donahue was released from Boston Medical Center over the weekend. However, Cushing remains hospitalized. Both officers are expected to make a full recovery. Kit will be laid to rest with a memorial ceremony once Cushing is released from the hospital. A GoFundMe account has been created for people to donate in Kit's memory to the Braintree Police Working Dog Foundation. And the Braintree Police Officers Association has also set up a GoFundMe to help support the families of officers involved in the attack. Dedham police are pursuing possible criminal charges in the case of a 17-year-old found submerged in a pool during a weekend graduation party. The department announced officers had submitted criminal complaint applications to the Dedham District Court for misdemeanor charges, including furnishing alcohol to minors and reckless endangerment of a child. Child officials say details of the complaints will be confidential until the court makes a determination about probable cause. Family members identify the teen as Alonzo Polk, who graduated with honors from Dedham High this month. His 18th birthday would have been later this month. Dedham police say the emergency 911 center got multiple calls at about 12:30 Sunday morning for a boy who was unresponsive in connection with a possible drowning in a backyard in-ground pool on Netta Road. CPR was being performed when officers arrived. The teen was taken to a Boston hospital and is expected to be in critical condition until further notice. Dedham police learned that a high school graduation party was taking place at the time. An investigation was launched into how Polk fell into the pool and became submerged. Police in Westwood say the driver of an RV that crashed into the front of a hotel on Route 1 is facing multiple charges, including drunk driving. Video from the scene showed the front windshield of the RV knocked out and the passenger side of the vehicle completely lodged into the front of the Budget Inn Westwood Hotel at about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Witnesses said the RV was exiting 128 onto Route 1 when it veered off the southbound side of the highway and crashed right into the hotel. Surveillance video shows the vehicle barreling through the hotel parking lot into the building. One witness who was staying at the hotel described climbing into the driver's side of the vehicle to calm down the driver. Firefighters had to cut the driver out of the motorhome through the rear of the vehicle. 63-year-old Richard Robinson of Whitman is now charged with drunk driving and other violations. He was taken to an area hospital with minor injuries. The 2010 deadly police shooting of D.J. Henry of Easton will be getting a second look. Henry was a 20-year-old Pace University junior in October 2010 when he was shot and killed by a Pleasantville, New York police officer during a chaotic scene outside a bar. The Westchester DA's office announced it will join a former federal judge in a new review of the case. Henry was out with friends in Pleasantville when some other people started fighting. Police showed up and Officer Aaron Hess jumped on the hood of Henry's car and shot him to death. Hess was never indicted and he retired from the Pleasantville department with his pension. The Department of Justice determined there was not enough evidence to pursue criminal charges. Henry's family has been fighting to reopen the investigation. His parents say societal change is now on their side as the circumstances are finally reviewed. District Attorney Miriam Rocha says she has not prejudged and cannot say if any further action will be taken. But the Henrys are hopeful. The Henry family reached a $6 million settlement with the officer and Pleasantville in 2016. Duxbury High School football coaches have allowed the use of anti-Semitic terms in practice since as early as 2010, according to an external investigation. The independent probe was ordered after a Duxbury lineman yelled out Auschwitz during a game earlier this year. The investigator, attorney Edward Mitnick, confirmed the player used Auschwitz to refer to a play-blocking scheme and that other Jewish-related words, such as rabbi and dreidel, were introduced during the 2010-2012 football seasons. Coaching staff was aware of the language at practice, according to the investigation, but there was no sufficient evidence the terms were used in games prior to that season. The investigation found the varsity team started to use the word rabbi to call a play that was originally referred to as rabbit. Rabbi then evolved into other Jewish terms, such as dreidel, yarmulke, and Hanukkah, being used for the rabbit play, according to the investigation. Coach Dave Mamaron was fired, and their season was suspended after the incident in March. Mamaron was also placed on administrative leave from his job as a special ed teacher. The investigation also found religious prayer was condoned prior to football games and that a team mass was held at a Catholic church on the Wednesday evening before the annual Thanksgiving Day game, both of which are in violation of school policy. Members of the football team attended mandatory diversity, equity, and inclusion workshops at the high school. Players also participated in a mandatory Holocaust presentation by a third-generation Holocaust survivor. The investigation included interviews with 52 different witnesses, including current and former players, coaches, parents, and school staff. Well, the state Senate approved a bill yesterday extending many of the policies adopted when the pandemic hit last year, including mail-in voting for the next several months. The bill was approved on a voice vote. Lawmakers are hoping to get the measure to the governor's desk quickly. The Republican plans to formally lift the pandemic state of emergency that he declared about 15 months ago on Tuesday. The bill would also let restaurants keep offering takeout cocktails and allow virtual public hearings to continue. During debate, senators rejected a series of amendments. One would have extended a cap on fees that delivery services charge restaurants. Another would have required public bodies to meet in person while allowing the public to participate remotely. Also, the House voted to make mail-in voting and early voting a permanent fixture in Massachusetts ahead of next year's elections. The measure would allow early voting and mail-in voting for state primaries, state elections, and any municipal elections held at that time. Many Massachusetts voters embraced mail-in and early voting during the pandemic. It's been more than 2 years since Governor Baker announced plans to legalize professional sports betting in Massachusetts, but the Commonwealth still has yet to join neighboring New Hampshire and Rhode Island in allowing people to gamble on sports legally. The latest step in the process to legalize betting is a hearing scheduled for June 17th at the State House, where there will be a joint committee hearing on several sports wagering bills, including the one put forward by the governor His plan would raise about $35 million in local aid and does not allow for college sports betting. The Supreme Court ruled that states can legalize sports betting back in 2018. According to the State House News Service, a committee heard 2 days of testimony on betting in May of 2019, but the proposal never gained significant traction. Legalized sports gambling was approved in a House economic development bill, but has not gone anywhere in the Senate yet. A day after Massachusetts lawmakers voted to put the so-called millionaire tax on the state's 2022 ballot, Governor Baker suggested he remains opposed to the proposed constitutional amendment, even in, or perhaps because of, the wake of the pandemic. Known as the Fair Share Amendment, the ballot question would increase the state's income tax from 5% to 9% on the portion of an individual's income that exceeds $1 million. State officials have estimated it would raise $1.6 billion to $2.2 billion in revenue for education and transportation. Baker, however, has repeatedly opposed raising broad-based taxes. And in 2019, before the legislature first voted on the Fair Share Amendment, he told reporters that we have plenty of money and the ability to work within that framework to get things done. During an event at Roxbury Community College yesterday, Baker noted that the state and local governments in Massachusetts have $10 billion in federal COVID-19 relief funds from the recent American Rescue Plan. Well, a three-day effort to free a humpback whale from entanglement in fishing gear ended in success. This week, the whale, identified as a mature female named Valley, was first spotted Monday by a whale watch boat on Stellwagen Bank, northeast of Provincetown. The Center for Coastal Studies Entanglement Response Team found that the whale had a heavy line lodged in its mouth, but because sea conditions were poor, it could not be freed. The whale moved about 25 miles north to waters outside Boston Harbor, where it became entangled in more gear anchored to the seafloor with just enough slack to swim in small circles. A lobster boat reported its position, and the rescuers deployed again. The crew on Wednesday used a hook-shaped knife at the end of a 30-foot pole to cut the rope anchoring the whale to the seafloor, then tied buoys to the rope in its mouth, and the remaining entanglement was pulled free, and Valley swam away. It appears the whale had been entangled for weeks or months, adding that the mammal's prognosis now is good. A sick raccoon is the first non-bat rabies case on Cape Cod in 8 years, according to the Barnstable County Department of Public Health. The case was identified following routine testing on a sick animal in Hyannis. The raccoon did not make any contact with humans. In May, a low-flying helicopter dropped oral rabies vaccine bait all over the Cape that were intended for raccoons and other wildlife. Anyone seeing an animal behaving strangely should stay away and call their local animal control. Now, the USS Constitution getting ready to salute those who served on the front lines during the pandemic. Old Ironsides will welcome aboard about 200 healthcare workers and first responders this morning for a 3-hour cruise and cannon firing in Boston Harbor. Healthcare workers on board will represent Mass General Hospital, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, Boston Medical Center, and Boston Emergency Medical Services, among other local hospitals and emergency services. Constitution will go underway from Charlestown Navy Yard at 10 a.m. A 21-gun salute is planned at about 11:30 at Castle Island, followed by a 17-gun salute at about 12:30 by the U.S. Coast Guard Station. The public can watch the display from the Boston Harbor Walk, Castle Island, and Charlestown Navy Yard. Last month, Constitution cruised the harbor and fired the cannons for its first underway in more than a year. USS Constitution is open to the public for free visits from Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. A check of business news this morning. Stocks were higher yesterday. The Dow was up 19 points. The NASDAQ rose 108. The S&P added 19 as well. Shares mostly higher in Europe and Asia. The dollar was up, the euro down. Oil at just over $70 a barrel. And sports, Red Sox beat the Astros 12-8 in a wild game at Fenway Park last night. They will welcome the Blue Jays to Fenway tonight at 7:10. The National Weather Service forecast today, partly cloudy with a high of 68 degrees. For tonight, some clouds around, low of 58. Partly sunny, maybe some showers tomorrow morning, and then clearing later in the day, high 67. Sunday, mostly cloudy with afternoon showers, a high 80 degrees, and showers around on Monday with a high 73. For the boater, waves about 2 feet, southeast winds gusting to 20 knots at times, high tide right after 1 p.m. Sunrise at 5:06, sets at 8:20. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Friday, June 11th.